This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. As always, you're invited to join us, weigh in with your thoughts and opinions, 603-283-6160, if you would like to do that. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. We're doing the studio tonight. It's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And we got sidetracked a bit with a bit of a discussion about religion, carrying on the conversation from last night that we had, and I've had a lot of people accuse me of being hostile to Christian callers. And, I mean, it may be to an extent, but I don't think it's unreasonable and I don't think it's unjust. A lot of Christians will call in and they want to tell me what is. You know, it's kind of screwed up when you think about it to just go up to another human being in any context and say, no, you're wrong and this is what's up. I know the mysteries of the universe. And I'm going to share them with you right now.
I also think it's naive.
It is.
These are things that we don't have concrete proof of. Like you kind of mentioned in the last segment, this cell phone, I'm holding you like I can see it. This is more believable than, you know, I have evidence for this.
The main thing is, I think that, like, the purpose of the universe is to try to figure these things out yourself and for humanity to do that. And I think Christianity, Islam, all these big religions were created just to keep people from doing that. These people aren't looking into any of the stuff I'm looking into.
Yeah, it's a cop-out.
They're able to just be like, oh, somebody figured that out for me. Let me sit on my couch and eat Cheetos all day.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's closing your mind off to all of these possibilities.
And it is true that, you know, we're a call-in show. I'm inviting people to call in, and, you know, maybe they don't want to face hostility, and you know, that's fine. But then don't begin the conversation with, well, you're wrong and you just need faith or something like that. That's going to set up an antagonistic relationship because I'm not a Christian. And I know that Christians out there, they can't even understand this possibility, but I don't believe what you believe. And your belief tells you that I'm going to be tortured for all eternity because I don't believe what you believe. That's the actual ground zero of where this conversation starts. You can't just say, well, I believe in God and, you know, Jesus loves you, but because that's not actually the beginning. The beginning of this is, I'm a sinner, I deserve eternal damnation, and I'm going to get it if I don't worship Jesus.
Well, and I think that's why people are so preachy about it, because, you know, you'll have your grandma that's like, I need to save your soul because I love you and I don't want you to be damned for the rest of eternity if you're a non-believer. And it's just, it's manipulative.
It is, and it's evil.
It's even evil for those people. Like, I feel sad for those people who think that all of their grandkids who don't believe exactly what they believe are going to hell. And, I mean, ultimately it is their fault, too. But they were also, like, tricked.
Yeah, so I had a close friend. I think we were probably in high school at this point. And she was, you know, she's very Christian, you know, involved in the church, whatever. And one of her family members was dying and didn't believe in God, and she came to me distraught because her grandmother or whoever it was on their deathbed, and she was convinced that they were going to hell because they weren't a believer, and it was just so sad, and
isn't that absolutely horrifying?
It is. It's horrific, and at this point, you know, in high school, you're, like, pretty much a child, but, you know, like, you're definitely not quite an adult yet, and it just felt so sad to me that this religion and this, you know, philosophy is manipulating people in this way where they're going through this torment of thinking that themselves. I remember when I first, you know, kind of escaped Christianity, Catholicism, whatever, there was so much back and forth because I was so afraid. I'm like, well, I don't really believe in this. And then whenever I think that, no, I'm just kidding. I changed my mind. I believe. Because I was terrified because I was taught my whole life and conditioned my whole life, I'm going to go to hell. And I was so afraid of that punishment that any time I would try to open my mind up to something different, I would have to take it back because of that fear, and that held me back for a really long time until I just stopped caring and couldn't deny it any longer that this is just not real.
It's just so sad that the pursuit of truth would even have that kind of an element thrown into, because the same thing happened to me. Like, when I started, like, looking into things to see it, like, this was my thought process. I was like, I'm going to look into this, and I'm going to be able to refute it all, and I'll still be a Christian. And that didn't happen. I'll look into the all the reasons that people are atheists, and I'll be able to refute it all, and I'll still remain a Christian. But if I don't do that, then I can't say I didn't do my due diligence. And then once I started realizing, like, it was the same thing. It was like that back and forth. Like, I'd be like, oh, my God, or like, now I'm walking in the dark alone, and I have to, if I don't think about Jesus, like, a demon's going to pop out. Like, seriously. Like, I mean, that's sad that fear is even thrown into the mix when somebody is just trying to find out what is the truth.
What's interesting to me about the subject of the fear and the threat of hell is that, like, we had a caller last night who kept saying, well, it's not my place to judge or whatever. And that's a cop-out. That is the ultimate cop-out. You're worshiping a God that you think is going to send me to hell for all eternity. My basic question to these Christians, to anyone out there who thinks I'm going to hell, do you think that's right? Do you think that's morally justified? Do you think God is right to send me to hell? And almost universally, their answer will be, well, it's not my place to judge. I'm not the one sending you to hell. No. But you're condoning it. You're worshiping this. I could not worship a creature that was so evil that it would torture someone at all, much less for all eternity.
Well, and does it make sense that God is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-good? Can those three things exist all at once with the stories in the Bible?
Well, it's obvious that none of those things can exist even independently, much less together, and much less...
I mean, look around at the world.
One of the simplest questions, I mean, one of the silliest questions is, you know, can Jesus microwave a burrito so hot that he cannot eat it? And it's a silly question, right? But think about it. If God can do anything, then he can microwave a burrito to infinite temperatures. But he can also eat a burrito, no matter how hot it is. But if he can eat a burrito, no matter how hot it is, then he can't microwave it too hot. So omnipotence by itself is a logical fallacy. And when you start throwing in omnipresence, being everywhere at once, and omniscience, and knowing everything, and somehow you want to throw in free will, that despite God being all-powerful, not very powerful, all-powerful and all-knowing, not really smart, already knows what I'm going to do and has a plan, which means God knows everything I'm ever going to do, and he has a plan built around me doing everything I'm going to do. I cannot deviate from that plan.
How could I possibly have
free will? I can't. I'm a pawn in God's game. But none of these contradictions matter ultimately to the Christian. They just go, well, God's a mystery. No, there's nothing mysterious about it. It's just you're spewing nonsense.
For me, it ends right there.
Yeah.
That's where it ends.
Yeah.
So how
at the impossibility.
How do we go past that? How do we move forward?
I don't think we can.
No, I mean, I don't think so.
And the infinite regress is one of the biggest arguments that Christians have in their toolkit. Like, okay, the universe came from somewhere, so to speak, and, you know, then God created the universe, so where did God come from? Well, there's some other God, and they just terminate and say, well, God created the universe, and God has always existed. And that's fine. However, it's unnecessary. We don't have to go that far, because we know that matter cannot be created or destroyed. It can only change forms. The universe is a collection of matter and energy. The universe cannot be created or destroyed. It can only change forms. So the universe wasn't created by God, as far as I can tell. The universe has always existed. It must have always existed, because matter can't be created or destroyed.
What if the universe is God?
That's what I was going to say. I think me and Ian would believe, basically, that just means that the universe is God. And that's why I say, when people try to say that God is Jesus, is Yahweh, it's more, like, disrespectful to God. It's because it's so much more complicated and beautiful and amazing than that. Like, just, I'm reading a book, and I talk about it all the time, because it's been taking me, like, a year to read it, because it's really long, called The Secret Life of Plants. And just the stuff I didn't know about plants is, until I read this book, is so freaking complex and beautiful, and all the things that go into it have something to do with, like, every part of the universe. Like, the moon phase, if a moon phase isn't in the right phase, sometimes seeds won't sprout, because they communicate with the moon, and all these things coming at us, all this stuff coming at us from the sky at all times. I don't know what to call it right now. can't think of what those words.
The universe is certainly more complex than Christianity suggests. And I don't know if I agree or disagree with the statement that the universe is God. I mean, the universe certainly exists, and it's full of all sorts of wonder and things that I cannot comprehend and don't even have the capacity to comprehend. And
but it is.
We can call that whatever we want.
Right? I'm not saying it is God. I'm just saying it is. We know that.
Yes, the universe
it's true.
Is.
One thing I love about nature is just like when we were going to court all the time for Ian's trial, it's like I had to look at all this crap, and they have all these symbols in the church that I know are lies. So I'm looking at it, and I have to constantly tell myself that's a lie, because they have these horrible symbols all in this church called the courthouse. And whenever we'd be driving there, and I'd be looking out the window at the beautiful trees and stuff we were passing, I would just say to myself, like, wow, this is truth. And I'm tired of having to sit in this courthouse of a bunch of crap lies. And what was I trying to say about that? Basically, we know that it is, and it's so beautiful beyond something we could possibly imagine. God doesn't have to be a person sitting somewhere, you know?
Excellently said. Let's go to the phones. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, this is Mark. Mark Watson, how you doing?
Hey, Mark, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, I just wanted to call in. You got a great topic, and I emailed Ian last night about it, and I just wanted to give a couple of thoughts.
Absolutely.
You brought up a lot of questions, and let me just say it first. I'm not going to be able to answer all your questions. So
that's a beautiful sentiment, just being able to say, I don't know. I don't have all the answers.
So here's what I want to suggest. What is the question that bothers almost every libertarian?
Who would build the roads?
Exactly.
No, that's actually the question. I thought Bonnie was making a joke.
I was.
Love that.
No, absolutely correct.
That doesn't bother me. I'm not worried about who's going to build the roads, but go ahead.
Okay, the reason I bring that up is because there are questions that keep coming up from people who are not libertarian who ought to know, because there have been decades and decades of writing to answer these questions by people who are libertarian who know the answers.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Have the information. So what I'm saying is it's kind of not fair to a libertarian to be able to have to give all the answers that have already been written down and provided when someone asks a stupid question because it's already been answered. So what I'm going to say to you is libertarianism is a system of belief, not faith, but belief. There is a certain amount of understanding that has to happen in the human mind to understand libertarianism.
Yeah, so, and the belief
that's why you don't need belief.
You do need belief. You need the belief that it's wrong to commit aggression against other people, and you need the belief that that leads to a better society. But that is just
a
belief.
That's more of an understanding.
But it could be wrong. We don't know.
I think that I understand the true fact that it's better when people are not.
But it's not a true fact.
Coercion against each other. It is a true fact.
It's well, not everybody's going to believe that.
It doesn't matter if other people believe something that's true.
What metric are you using to determine what is and isn't better?
Because
what determines whether or not it's accurate.
Because there's no situation where people using force against each other is better. When has there ever been?
Somebody
would have to prove that first.
Well, that's your opinion, right?
It's not an opinion.
Better for who?
I mean, you already know the answer of these things.
If a person enjoys using violence against others, then it's better for them if they use violence against others.
Well, I don't think it is.
But it is.
But it brings them joy. It doesn't necessarily bring them joy, because people obviously don't understand what joy even is if they don't understand how much better it could be if their idea of joy is hurting other people.
But you can't just say that doesn't really bring you joy. If you have a psychopath who finds joy in hurting other people.
Psychopaths don't have joy.
Okay, if you have an immoral person who finds joy in hurting other people, you can't say that he doesn't find joy in hurting other people.
I just haven't found somebody that actually exists in them. Like, everybody that's like a horrible person just hasn't realized a better way to live.
Or maybe they believe they have.
I also just feel like that's your opinion.
Beliefs are stupid. And I don't think that there's such thing as, or I don't think that it's right to call libertarianism a system of beliefs. We understand that it would be better for everyone if people didn't use coercion, because more prosperity in the world. There's no system that would make
But more prosperity in the world doesn't necessarily mean it's better. That's just the metric that you're using to determine what is and isn't better. Prosperity may ultimately be a bad thing. Maybe it would be better if humans lived like animals. Maybe the universe would be better.
Animals don't not live in prosperity, and animals also live, you
That's
know,
what I'm saying.
Their...
Prosperity doesn't necessarily mean a good thing. It may be a bad thing.
I'm saying animals don't not live in prosperity. Animals have everything they need out in the wild.
Well, some of them do. Some of them starve. Animals starve all the time.
Can I call time out for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, I appreciate that. Believe me, I know the conversation can go all different directions, but let me say this.
Can I just say one thing? Before, but this is what I was trying to get to because we got really sidetracked. But here's one thing I just have to throw out there before you make the statement is Christianity isn't the same as libertarianism because Christianity isn't something that someone sat around and thought there's no better way to live life. It's just something somebody was told this is the way it is. So that's a belief system.
Well, yeah, there are many doctrines and things, but I'm going to suggest something else, okay? Because we, as a libertarian and as an anarchist that I believe that I am, I come at the Bible and my faith from a voluntary perspective. So the reason why I do that is because I look at the scripture that talks about, say, in the Ten Commandments. People don't read the Ten Commandments. They think they do, but they really don't. Like, there's a scripture just prior to the Ten Commandments, which explains why the Ten Commandments are being given. And the people were rescued out of Egypt, which was a government that was enslaving them. And so God was telling them, hey, don't be enslaved anymore. It said, you shall have no other gods before me. Why did it say that? Because God is not of the world. All the humans on the earth do not have the right to enslave each other.
Okay. Yeah. Do you really want to get into the subject of God condoning slavery? Because I can pull up countless Bible verses where God explicitly condones slavery. Like where he straight up says, it's okay for you to buy slaves.
Here's how to treat your slaves. Here's how to...
Those Bible verses exist. And you can't say that, and the reason why God said you can't have any other gods before me, it's explicitly stated in the Ten Commandments, because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. That's the reason.
And you look at commandment, in the commandment, it basically says you have no other gods before me. Why does it say that?
Because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God.
No, listen.
No, I'm telling you the verse.
On the earth, no other human on the earth has the right to rule you. And you
what does that have to do with God being before them?
The fact that can't possibly it being considering Moses was mad that they were breaking the commandments already when he got there when they were worshiping Baal or whatever
the calf,
the golden calf.
Well, he was sent to get the commandments, and when he came back, it was all hell breaking loose. But okay, things are not perfect. But this is my point. So things are not perfect today, and things are not perfect then. But what I'm trying to get across is when someone says, well, God condones slavery, what you're really missing is, no, he really doesn't. So when the Bible talks about you shall have...
Go ahead while I Google the actual Bible for you.
No, what I'm telling you is God is actually saying no human has the right to be the president of the United States, a congressman, a senator, a prime minister, a lord, a king.
Then why did God
choose
people to become the judges in the Old Testament, like, you know, 50 years later, the judges and the priests? Yeah,
do you want me to go past Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8, where Paul states, slaves, be obedient to your human masters with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ? Do I need to go further? Or to Colossians, or Timothy, or Titus, or even to the Old Testament?
What I'm talking about,
like Leviticus?
I'm trying to get to a point.
No, what you're saying is things that are, you're calling and telling us that you're a Christian, and then you're explicitly ignoring things that are literally stated in the Bible, and you're putting your own weird little spin on it, where somehow God's saying, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, you shouldn't worship anyone else, is somehow him saying, you shouldn't have any kings, by the way, but here's some kings, and here's some judges for you, which happened just...
No, you're not letting me get a word in edgewise. What I'm saying is, all that came in 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8 was, hey, we don't like the judges, The judges were there to handle civil matters between people. They were not there to lord over people. Somebody would have a problem with somebody else, and somebody had to arbitrate that problem, that resolution. That was not somebody trying to lord over somebody. That was somebody trying to sort out problems between people.
Well, what about when God said that David was a man after his own heart and made him be king?
So what happened was, in 1 Samuel 8, they demanded a king. Now, if you read the chapter, it says...
No. Let's focus on that. They demanded something from God. And God bowed and gave in to them. Do you realize what a nonsensical thing you just said?
Especially if it's something so evil like a monarchy. Like, I can't imagine a God...
So what happened? Bonnie's right. There were judges in the land, and those judges were not perfect judges. And so the people were dissatisfied with them, and they demanded an earthly king. So what is that demand? That demand was a breaking of the first commandment, which you shall have no other gods before me. In fact, it explicitly says that in 1 Samuel 8. So God relents. Tells them that.
So despite having ordered them not to have any other gods before them, God decides to allow them to have a god before them? Because you're muddying the word God so much that you're basically saying that a king is God. And I don't agree with that from the beginning, but even if we allow that, then we're buying into this idea that the God, the jealous God, gave in to these demands and gave these people a different god to worship rather than himself.
No, what he was saying was he doesn't want anyone to let anyone rule over them. In other words, if you're a Christian, you should not seek after a president.
So how did the Jews get God? How did they get God to do something that he didn't want to do? Because that's impressive.
So what it was is it was a sin, and they were breaking God's law. And
No. You said they got God to do it. They got God to do what he didn't want to do, which was to give them a king. So I need to know, man, how did they convince the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe to do something that the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe did not want to do? Is it a magic ring? Is it some Latin phrase?
People have the right to choose to believe or not. Those people broke the commandment by their own free will, and God said, okay, here's what's going to happen with the kings in the land. He said, you're going to get it good and hard because this is how they treat you. And the reason why I'm mentioning that to you is because in verse 2 in Exodus, it says, I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He had already taken them out of slavery.
Yeah, man, you're putting weird spins on stuff. Like Leviticus 25 here, your male and female slaves are to come from the nations around you.
Well, it's just that
you may buy slaves.
The chosen people weren't supposed to be slaves. They could have slaves and treat them badly.
Right, but they could buy slaves. They were explicitly told they could have slaves. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. The suspect in the Half Moon Bay mass shooting is having his arraignment postponed until February. A California judge today approved a defense attorney's request to move the scheduled hearing to February 16th. President Biden announcing that the United States is joining Germany, France, and the United Kingdom in sending some powerful weapons to Ukraine.
Today, I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine, the equivalent of one Ukrainian battalion.
Biden says Ukrainian forces need the tanks to counter Russia's evolving tactics and take back its territory from Russia. A federal prosecutor is promising an in-depth investigation into the death of Tyre Nichols. He's the 29-year-old black man who died earlier this month after Memphis police pulled him over in a traffic stop. Those five black officers were fired. Video of the killing expected to be released to the public. John Schaefer, USA News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and as always, you can join us. You can weigh in with your thoughts and opinions. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're in the studio tonight. It's Aria,
Nikki,
and Bonnie.
And again, we do welcome all callers, especially Christians. 603-283-6160.
Wait, especially, I don't know about that.
Well, for me, yeah, especially. I don't want to hear from other atheists or Satanists.
Oh, about
out
this
there.
Topic.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. But I definitely want to hear from Christians, but it's important for you to understand that I know the Bible really, really well. And Bonnie knows the Bible really, really well.
I don't.
But I don't. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know whether Nikki does or not. But
I know it pretty well. There's huge swaths I've never looked into.
Certainly. But that's true for me as well.
I specifically spent years of my life as a kid studying Exodus and Genesis.
But
so.
See, the average Christian hasn't. Yeah. The average Christian hasn't read the Bible, may not even have a Bible.
Well, you don't have to, because you just go to church and those people
tell
you about
it.
That's absolutely true. And that's why the Catholic Church, were they the Catholic Church, I guess? I don't know if they were. The Church of England, at the very least, resisted at the time the idea of translating the Bible into English. People were being put to death for translating the Bible out of Latin into English, because that allowed it to be accessible to the common person.
We can't have that.
Yeah, no longer did you have to rely on the priest to tell you what the Bible said. You could go and read it yourself, and they did not like that one bit. That's why they wanted to keep it in Latin for such a long period of time.
That's not sketchy at all.
No, it's always been a matter of control. But most Christians, they don't know what's in the Bible. Their theology in their head is some confusing mess of Adam and Eve and some snake and Jesus and some bearded dude living in the sky, and somehow he's magical, and that's pretty much the extent of what you know about it for most Christians. And I don't know if this is true of any of the callers that we had, but if you're going to call the show to talk about this with us, you should know what the Bible says. And to the credit of the last caller, he did seem to know what the Bible said. He did have Bible verses that he could point to readily and quickly that he knew about. However,
but the thing is, if he probably knew about those other ones, but he has just some kind of answer. And another topic that we didn't get into with him, but he kind of glossed over it, was he was saying, like, listen, it's not fair to make a libertarian explain every single time to everyone why somebody else can build the roads. It's a simple question, but, like, it's been answered before. The thing about it being having been answered before by Christians on these other things is these aren't concrete topics. Like, who will build the road is a concrete answer. And the answer is businesses who already build the roads. There just wouldn't need to be a third-party person. And I don't mind answering that again and again for the rest of eternity as people ask me that. But Christians want to be like, ugh, we already answered how God is three in one. No, you didn't. The humans can't answer that. I mean, not only is it not explained in the Bible, but you're not going to tell me that you already explained that when you haven't, like, met God personally, done anything to make me believe that you have done something greater than any other human being has claimed to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wish more understood that. But let's keep going with the phones. We have Chuck on the line from Washington. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live.
I really liked it when y'all rap on these Bible things, because it makes me think about when I was a kid and everything like that. And so
they seem to be popular episodes, but maybe that's because I'm holding my tongue so much about what I really think about Christianity, and for the most part, a lot of Christians.
Well, and that's why I think that, to go back to what you had said in previous shows, that's why I think Christianity is losing right now. They're losing ground because they can't explain these things that they say, you know, the Trinity and, you know, some of the magic show with the fish and the bread and the wine and so on and so forth. So the last caller is a perfect example, and I don't want to attack anybody. I don't want to be on that kind of level here in my pursuit of spiritual understanding here, because this is really why I'm calling. It's for me. This person that was talking is a Bible verse builder, okay? So what they do is they get you entangled into a conversation about, they get you entangled in fellowship. And then what they do is they point out a bunch of different Bible verses that they know by heart that supports this whole theory that they're trying to throw out there, which doesn't make any sense to anybody else. But somehow you're going to, you know, Google what he was talking about, Samuel, yada, 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 and in conjunction with Exodus, and then followed by, you know, something that Jesus said on the cross. To support his whole, he's probably a youth pastor, by the way. Did you ever pick up on that? I did. Or somebody that was in that kind of
I did not, and I don't want to assume that about it. He seemed to me like just a normal Christian that I would have known in the South.
Oh, brother, I tell you, here's what I know. I know Psalms 23. That's all I'm going to say. And that's
did either of you get the impression that he was like a youth minister?
No, I mean, you didn't mention it.
No, so. But I think I know what this caller means. He's trying to say, like, oh, he's already got an explanation for, like, somebody who asks the question.
Teenagers questioning things.
Right, and he's going to talk to them like, this has already been answered. Here's the answer. You know, like, that's definitely happened to me.
So when we ask him who will build the roads, he thinks he's the guy with the answers. When we ask a Christian, you know, these questions, basically, who will build the roads? But a Christian version of that, he's like, I've got the answer that's already been answered.
Yep.
Well, he's that guy.
You know, Jesus told us, give to Caesar what is Caesar. So that means what? To who?
It depends on who you ask. I've heard at least two different interpretations of that verse, and both of them are plausible, right?
And about him being a Bible verse builder, like you're saying, I think the most important thing about what the last caller was doing was he was telling us something that was in the Bible, then adding in a little of his own interpretation. Like,
absolutely.
You got to put that on Front Street. You got to say, like, and this is what I think of like that, and that's what I believe. That's what. Then it's legitimate. But if you're telling me, like, so God said, have no gods before me, and that's because he wanted them to not have slavery, then you got to be able to explain that because that part's not in the Bible.
Even more cutting, I don't really care what the Bible says. I mean, if you want to quote Bible verses to me about your theology, that's fine. But first we have to establish your Bible as a credible source. And it has never been demonstrated to be a credible source.
I'm sorry to cut in here, but as far as slavery is concerned, the Bible has been one of the pillars in supporting American slavery. I mean, that was quoted time in and time out to keep it in place.
Do you mean during the, like, prior to the Civil War when the United States and its college states were arguing about slavery and whether or not, I mean, I haven't, finished the statement.
They were using scripture to keep that in place.
Right, I'm trying to elaborate and explain what they were trying to keep in place, which was the institution of slavery. Americans were arguing about it. Some were saying it was wrong. Some people were saying it was moral. And the Christians in the United States were saying, no, look, slavery is fine. God is okay with slavery. And here's the Bible verses to prove it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Christians don't realize that.
I think that there's some people out there that look at Christianity as fire insurance. They'd rather believe in this because who wants to go to hell? I mean, who really wants that?
Well, no one. That's the point of hell, right? But
that's what makes me so sad about all of this. It's like I don't like thinking about my family members who only believe in this stuff because they're afraid.
Yeah, like why? And that's the thing for me. Why do people need to be threatened to believe? It's just a major red flag for me because none of that is really even mentioned in the Bible. They're just spelling out all these things and elaborating on the text and creating their own story to manipulate people.
It's caused me to be slightly deceitful with my grandmother, and I don't like that. Like, she knew I was an atheist prior to, you know, I mean, she's known that for the last, you know, 15 years of my life, however, but she's always held out hope that I was going to become a Christian or whatever. Now I've moved to New Hampshire, we don't talk, but she occasionally texts me. So she asked me, have you found a church? And I was like, well, I mean, I went to there was a church nearby that I went to recently, which is true, but I'm avoiding answering the question and saying, no, I don't believe in God. I'm not wasting my time with this nonsense because she's like, what, 95 years old
or
something?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah. And you know what, I'm just worrying, like, oh, Arya's going to go out.
But I shouldn't have to be deceitful like that, and I'm not lying to her. I mean, if she would ask me point blank, do you believe in, you know, God or whatever, I would answer the question, but I'm meticulously avoiding the question because I don't want her to be afraid for my everlasting soul. And that religion has caused her to be that way is absolutely disgusting. That this 90-year-old woman should never live in fear that one of her grandchildren is going to be tortured for all eternity by a God that supposedly loves them.
Have you ever, has anybody ever heard of Father Harold Camping?
No.
Okay, so
is he the guy who's always predicting the end of the world?
Yeah.
All right, then. Okay. Yeah, I knew the name was familiar.
Okay, so he believed his version of Christianity was the spiritually dead. If you don't go to hell because that's only something that basically this is what I gathered from many hours of really trying to understand what he was saying is. Basically, what he can take scripture and say that once you're dead, you're dead. You don't go to hell, but it's just dead. It's you're spiritual. You're no longer connected with the Lord Jesus and God and whatever. You're it's basically nothing.
Yeah, that sort of fits with my understanding of what the Bible says about the afterlife, as I understand it, and it's been a really long time since I looked into it. It references two things that could be said to be hell. The first is the bottomless pit. The second is the lake of fire. The lake of fire is where the souls are thrown to be destroyed. The non-believers are destroyed there. It's like the Mount Doom, and only there can souls be unmade or whatever, right?
If it says that they're there to be destroyed, why, where do people get the idea that you just stand in the fire and your body can't be burned and you get tortured for eternity?
From Paradise Lost and Milton and Dante's Inferno and other fan fiction of the Bible.
Well, and that's,
I mean, that's realistic. Yeah, that's what informs most Christian theology is Paradise Lost.
I mean, when I was in, like, 8 years old, my friend, her parents gave me this, like, children's Bible thing, and it elaborated heavily on what would happen in hell. A children's
Jesus.
Book. A children's book talking about things that fly around and zap you and the way you'll be tortured for all of eternity if you don't believe in God. This is what they're feeding to children.
Yeah, that's horrifying. And the bottomless pit mentioned, I think it's only mentioned in the book of Revelation, and it's reserved for Lucifer at the after yeah. the, all of that goes out, Lucifer is going to
wow.
be thrown into the bottomless pit.
So if this isn't even really mentioned in the Bible, just maybe briefly, vaguely, then why are we, you know, creating these books of like, oh, this is an easy to digest version of scripture for children where we're talking about how we're going to torture them. It's just...
Yeah, thank you
Seriously?
So much for the call tonight, Chuck. And, you know, I don't get it either, especially for children, because this is how they rope you in, right? They don't...
That's why they do it. They have to start you young with the fear.
But, see, they don't do the fear that early. I was exposed to this. Bonnie, you were exposed to this, and I'm sure you were too as well. But they never talked about the threat of hell when I was 5 years old. They talked about sin and how God wanted me to be a good person, all that stuff. But it was all about how Jesus loves you.
Yeah, that's
Jesus,
how they start.
Jesus
yeah.
loves the little children. He loves you so much that he could just explode in happiness. That's how they start you.
In church, yes.
He's watching over you from the clouds, and he loves you, and he's taking care of you. And they paint this warm, beautiful picture of the hell. That doesn't come until later.
See, my mom is like a really different Christian. She doesn't have like some kind of sect she belongs to. She just like look for the type of people that she vibed with wherever we went. And, like, from a very young age, my mom was like, demons will come into your room at night if you're doing these bad things. Like, I don't want to scare you, but if you lie, then demons will come into your body.
I'm sorry, but that is funny. I don't want to scare you, but
she would always say
demons
she didn't
are
wanna,
coming for you.
She would always want to say that she didn't want to put a spirit of fear into me, but I like, she wanted me to understand this stuff. And it was just like... I'm not trying to be mean to my mom. It's just that I really think that that is mind control.
And Nikki, it's traumatizing.
Yeah.
That is. Nikki, you said they started with the fear early in you, like with this pamphlet.
Yeah, it was a book. It was a children's book. And it, this
oh,
was,
that's
it,
surprising.
By
that's...
the way, this my parents were never very religious. At this point, I had already, I think I was 7, 8 years old. We had already stopped going to church, so my parents just weren't into it. They were like, this is a waste of time, whatever, we don't care. You guys are baptized, your souls are saved, whatever. It was my friend who, her parents were very, very religious, and they would always have me read these books and not tell my parents about it, by the way, just go, they knew we didn't go to church, and they were like, well, we need to save this little girl.
Dang.
And they would, you know, and my friend would tell me all sorts of stories that I had never heard of. I didn't know about the things that flied around and zapped you. So I learned so much about religion and Christianity from this friend and her parents, and my own parents had no clue the whole time. They probably still don't know.
That's grooming.
Absolutely, yeah. If we want to talk about grooming, that's grooming.
That's a really good point, Bonnie. That is absolutely grooming. And your mom intrigues me because she sounds so much like what I would have expected my grandmother and my uncle to be, but they never believed in the actual, I mean, they believe in the demons, right, and the Antichrist and all of that, but there's a degree of separation where they don't truly believe that a demon is going to find its way into the house or whatever.
See,
it's more of a spiritual non-entity.
My mom got really into this when I was 5 because she already believed in that. I had my first exorcism before I was 5, so she believed in it already. Don't know where she heard it from because I was too young to
know. You had your first... Hold on. Stop. You had your first
exorcism.
Hold on. Okay. You had your exorcism.
Yes.
You were exorcised?
Yes. So I was always having bad dreams, like all the time. Like every night of my life, I would be like crying in my sleep having bad dreams or going to my parents' bed because I didn't want to be alone. Well, I had siblings, so I'd always go get in bed with my sister. And my grandma would come and pray over me and stuff because they said I had demons in me because of that. I think the thing was I was afraid of all this crap I was hearing.
Probably.
And so at one time my parents' church broke off from the church that they were going to because they didn't believe in something that the pastor believed in. And we started going to this old lady's house named Miss Elaine. And I would always hang out
in
the basement.
Dude, I thought my family was like religious hardcore. No, you're going to church in this old lady's house. You got me beat, Bonnie.
It's in Kansas. So I would go to some church in this old lady's house in Kansas. But me and my sister would play with this old, this grown man in the basement while my family was in church. And I always think that was really weird. But
everything about this story is...
One day they came down and got me, just me, and brought me up with the congregation. There was, like, this man from Africa. I remember him very clearly. A bunch of old people and my mom. But my dad wasn't there
for this.
And
they call us Satanists weird, man. The picture you're painting here is exactly what they accuse Satanists of doing. Here's little Bonnie in this basement with this weird old guy. And she comes up, and they've got the whole congregation is there standing around solemnly waiting to perform some sort of craven ritual. I mean,
so,
good God.
They put me on a chair in the middle of the living room, and they all were standing around me praying, like, in tongues and stuff. And the African man was, like, I think mostly, like, the leader. Like, he was started the praying and stuff. And I was, like, really bored, so I remember thinking, I'm going to look at each of them for an equal amount of time. Don't know why. I was like, I'll look at that one. Equal amount of time, now it's time to move. I don't know why I was doing that. But my mom told me...
Well, you probably felt awkward, and that gave you something to focus your attention on other than the weirdness of everything that was happening around you.
So my mom told me, like, years later that my eyes turned black. And my mom doesn't lie. She believes that she saw that. So...
I mean, the mind can do, and I'm not saying that maybe your eyes did turn black. Who knows? I don't want to call her a liar, but... The mind can do crazy things when you really believe. It's like an optical illusion almost, you know?
Yeah.
So it isn't out of the realm of possibilities to see something. I mean, I see stuff all the time that I'm like, oh, that wasn't real. It was just my mind playing tricks on me, or I'm tired.
I think
or,
the term is pareidolia, I believe.
Yeah.
It's where you see faces and walls and stuff like that. Oh, my God,
yeah.
Is that a
or
face?
Or like a shadow, yeah. Like, oh, my gosh, it's a man standing there. You turn on the light and it's not, you know.
Yeah. So Bonnie, and as you point out, the psychosomatic experience, I mean, it can be real if Bonnie as a child truly believes that she had demons and they were causing her bad dreams, then this exorcism could, in a very real way, exorcise those demons because that fulfills
it's like
the
a
criteria.
Placebo, right?
Yeah. So my question, did it alleviate the bad dreams?
Yeah, to an extent. I still have more bad dreams than normal, I think, the rest of my life, but... Now I don't have bad dreams at all. And, yeah.
Amazing story. I'm going to need some time to process that. Thank you for sharing that, Bonnie. Let's go to the phone's caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Ralph.
Ralph, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, it was about what's happening in Ukraine, but since you're talking about religion, I just wanted to mention something. You know, religion controls people with myths and tall tales from what I've seen in my life. And there's a film that I watched years ago. It's on YouTube, Ring of Power. It's a full-length documentary by Grace Powers. That's the title. And it's like almost 5 hours long.
Oh, good. Okay, I was going to write down the name of it to watch it later, but if it's 5 hours long, I'm not going to pretend that I'm ever going to watch it.
You might... really be interested once you start, but it's like a history lesson. And back like in about an hour and 30 minutes, something like that, they start talking about Julius Caesar and Cleopatra. And, you know, Julius Caesar declared himself God. And,
did he?
Yeah.
But okay.
He had children with Cleopatra. And one of his children was named Caesarion. And see, Caesar also had an adopted son. So So when, you know, when
isn't that what the C in C-section stands for?
Yes, it is, and that's where it came from.
Okay, that's what I would have assumed. Thank you.
Yep. So when Julius Caesar was killed, and then the thing with Mark Antony hooking up with Cleopatra, and then the the emperor of Rome, he came, and Cleopatra committed suicide, and Mark Antony died, and it's a little confused in history about what happened to the children. Well, you know, like they say, Jesus Christ, that's J.C., and Julius Caesar, J.C., that's kind of a little coincidence there. But the story was that Caesarion, they were looking for him to kill him because he was Caesar's blood son, but Augustus...
Well, yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with gods. You don't just kill the king. You have to also kill the king's son. I mean, that's just the way it was back then, because the king's son had a rightful claim to the throne.
Right, but the adopted son, who had no blood ties to Caesar, you know, he was back in Rome, so he was in charge. So anyway, the story goes that, you know, there's some missing years of Jesus, and the story was that they took him to India, and... you know, he spent time there and basically studied Buddhism, and then came back, and he wanted to get his rightful place.
So the hypothesis here is that Jesus is secretly Julius Caesar's son?
Right.
Is that where you're going?
Okay.
And I've never heard that one before.
I have heard that, about Jesus going to India, and that there's a specific book I wrote in my list of books that I want to read about, like, the evidence that Jesus went to India, and it makes a lot of sense to me. Like, Jesus...
Well, India was certainly a lot closer to the Middle East than it is to North America.
That's true. Right, and some Mormons believe Jesus went to North America.
Yes, thank you. That's what I was getting into. That I believe what they think is that, and I'm not a Mormon, so correct me if I'm wrong, but they think that those 3 days when Jesus died, he was over here.
He was just on vacation.
Well, he chilling with the Native Americans, right?
They said that he, like, appeared, you know, so it wouldn't have been, like, that he had to walk or anything. So, yeah, I guess it makes sense, but...
It's all very confusing what the Mormons believe, and the only thing I know about Mormonism came from South Park. And that's Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and I know that sounds, like, stupid, right? But I learned a lot about Mormonism from South Park.
They actually taught serious things that a lot of Mormons need to hear about, like this woman who was like, hey, I don't believe this, prove it with us looking, and he couldn't do it, whatever his name is.
603-283-6160. Yeah, it was surprisingly accurate to Mormon beliefs. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VINYL-90.